incomparable Tim Conway is my guest today on The Book Report. If you check his own bio, it reads, Tim Conway was born and then did 11 years on The Carol Burnett Show. But his new book, What's So Funny, My Hilarious Life, fills you in on the parts between his birth, The Carol Burnett Show, and after. And the great thing is, when you read it, you feel as if he's there with you, sharing all those wonderful behind-the-scenes moments. Welcome, Tim. It's a thrill to have you with us on The Book Report.
Isn't it, though? My gosh, I tell you, I was saying to myself this morning, it must be a thrill to have me on.
It is. Tell us the evolution from Toma to Tom to Tim.
Yes. Well, my mother is Romanian, so my original name was Toma, T-O-M-A. And then I didn't like Tom, so Steve Allen said, why don't you just dot the O, and became Tim.
All right.
So he's actually the one that christened me.
Hmm. Okay, you wrote in the book that your parents were solid, loving, and you even write that your dad was rather silent. So where do you believe your comic genius comes from?
Myself. Okay. I was self-taught. I had dyslexia, so it was difficult for me to read in class, and my classmates always thought it was very funny that I was adding words to sentences that really weren't there, but I fortunately married another dyslexic, so we didn't have to talk much.
All right. Well, in the book's foreword, Carol Burnett lets out this juicy tidbit. You can sew like a tailor. So is this just one of your hidden talents, and what are the others?
Yes, my mother was a seamstress and made slipcovers and things like that. So I made slipcovers and jackets and things like that. And the seamstress and gardener and anything handy, you know.
Okay. You begin the book by saying, I was born to enjoy life, and I've always wanted everyone to enjoy it with me. What an amazing philosophy.
I enjoyed making people happy, so show business seemed to be the place for me. I started out to be a jockey, but at 140 pounds, even the horses ask you to get off, so I went into show business.
All right. Well, tell our listeners how Rose Marie set you on your path to stardom.
Well, she was coming through Cleveland doing some promos for the Dick Van Dyke Show. And I said, do you want to see some of the stuff we were doing here? And there was a guy on television in WEWS in Cleveland. And I would come out every morning. It was a morning movie, and I was the director of the show. And I never got the movie off at the time it was supposed to get off. So a lot of endings never came on the movie. And we actually had people writing in the papers, you know, you want to see Stink? Watch this show, because, for instance, in Citizen Kane, and they said, where was the sled? And I said, you know the movie, so I don't need to show it. And we were both fired from there, and on I went into another radio station.
Hmm. Can you share some Dog Hereford memories from the Steve Allen Show?
Well, Steve was probably the brightest guy I ever met, and a fun guy.
One of your chapters is entitled The Importance of Being Ernest Borgnine. Share some stories about him.
Well, he was a marvelous, a big, jolly guy, and I'm sorry to see that he's not around here anymore, but he was a wonderful guy. If you saw Marty, that was the real Ernie Borgnine.
Hmm. Warm and wonderful. So what was it like for you to be Ensign Parker?
Well, that was my first job, really, in major TV outside of Steve Allen. And it was great because I loved working with Joe Flynn and Ernie Borgnine and the cast, and it was about the military, and I had been through the military, so I knew that there was a great deal of humor there. And the reason that they took it off is because we had done 4 years in black and white, and color was coming in, and they didn't think that they could sell the black and whites in reruns if color was in. So they took it off.
Well, I remember watching it, and I loved it.
Yes, yeah. I did too.
Yeah. Now, you met Carol Burnett while on The Gary Moore Show, and you knew in an instant that she was someone very, very special. Can you share a favorite Carol story from those days?
Well, I the first time I came in contact with Carol was when she had her own show, because she remembered me from The Gary Moore Show, and she said, I would like you to come on the show. And I said, well, how many shows do you want me to do? And she said, well, we do 33 a year. And she said, well, I'd like you to do all of them. And I said, well, I'd have to have the last week off in case I guessed somewhere. And she said, well, okay. And so I did 32 shows. And then the last week I would be a guest on her show. So I ended up doing 33, really.
All right. Now, tell us a little about Harvey Korman. I also loved how much you described his dressing. Talk about that.
Well, he used to take the wardrobe home from any show that he was on. And it was always ill-fitting, and he was always standing on a corner somewhere with one pant leg with the hem out, because he would take it right off the rack.
Can you share a little about when you and Harvey actually had lunch with Cary Grant?
Yes. Harvey was eating and spilling everything, as he always did, all over his shirt and everything. And he looked at Cary Grant, and Cary Grant was just taking a spoon of soup, and he spilled just a drop on his pants, and Harvey said, oh, you spill too. And they were nothing alike. Cary Grant was the alpha, and Harvey was the omega of
right
dressing. Yeah.
And you and Carol kind of did everything in your power to make him crack up. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. Very poor performer was Harvey. And, yeah, he often prided himself on the fact that he never broke up. So that was my target every week.
All right. Well, my brother's an endodontist, and he wants you to know how much he loved your famous, famous dentist skit.
Well, that actually happened for real. The dentist was working on me, and he was going to give me Novocaine, and he stuck the needle in my cheek on the inside, and it went through my cheek and into his own thumb. So he kind of paralyzed himself there, and from that, we did the dentist sketch.
All right. Well, tell us about your glory days as a jockey.
Well, they weren't so glorious. I was in the starting gate one morning, and I was way overweight for a jockey. But the guy said, you know, get that horse in here, put him in the gate. And I had never been in a starting gate before, so he said, are you ready, kid? And I said, yeah, hang on just a minute. And in the meantime, he opened the gate, and the horse went out. And I was sitting there on the ground looking at this horse going down the track and thinking to myself, gosh, I wish I was on that horse. So that was the beginning of my racing career.
But then you actually went on to be an owner.
Yes. I had several horses out in California, and that's why I'm working again.
All right. Well, in the book you write, you were born to enjoy life, and it seems you're just doing that. Apart from the book, what's next in your career?
Probably to read the book, actually.
Well, I've so enjoyed our conversation. Any final thoughts?
Keep smiling, and hopefully I'll have an opportunity to continue entertaining you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today,
okay.
Readers. This was a fabulously entertaining book. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.